It's Friday, and you're listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. I'm Katie Wyatt, here as I am every Friday with my co-host, Father Adam Streitenberger. Good morning, Father Adam.
Good morning, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you. How was your Christmas?
It was great.
How is your Christmas?
Yeah, that's right. It keeps going on and on and on.
It does. This is the best time of Christmas.
It is.
When everyone else thinks it's not Christmas anymore, right?
You know, Christmas, it just goes so quickly, you know?
It does. So. Yes, it does.
Well, shall we start with a prayer?
Let's.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we marvel in thanksgiving at the birth of Jesus Christ, your Son. In this time, both here on the radio and in this time of celebration of Christmas, we ask that you open our hearts to your word, that he might fully dwell in our hearts, and that we might come to know him in a deeper way this day. We give you thanks for all of the blessings of this season and of the time of ahead. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Christmas, I think Advent goes fast, but Christmas, like these days of Christmas, sort of slow down.
Yeah, you know, I think priests have a whole different perspective. I think both with Advent and Lent, it drags on, especially with more and more penance services that you have. It seems to go longer and longer.
How many penance services did you have for
Advent? I don't know. I can't even remember. Yeah.
Well,
I was averaging about 3 a week, so...
On behalf of a grateful Catholic community, thank you for doing all of those penances.
We got all of the sheep sheared before Christmas. So.
Despite all of the opportunities for reconciliation, I found myself at St. Michael's the Saturday before Christmas.
It's everyone waits till the end. When I was in Portsmouth, I didn't even attempt to do penance services at the beginning of Advent. I was just like, let's do it the week before Christmas.
Because that's
same
when
with
people
Lent
are coming.
Just wait and do it on the Wednesday before the Triduum, because that's when everyone will show up.
I do have to say, the lines were pretty long at St. Michael's when I was there. So.
But then Christmas Day itself, Christmas Eve and everything goes so fast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just is a blur.
I'm sure it is.
It's like this slow buildup of anticipation before your first vigil mass. And then it's all boom, it's all over
with. It's an explosion.
And then you wake up Christmas and you're like, well,
what happened? Well, you know, I'm not going to be here next week.
Oh yeah, either am I, cuz we're not on the first Friday.
Oh yeah, okay. Darn it. I had such a good build up going. I'm not going to be here the next week either.
Oh.
Because we're going to Costa Rica.
Whoa.
My husband, my daughter Molly, my son Jackson, and I. But the reason I'm telling this is because I just have to talk about how good human beings are. Because sometimes we forget.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jackson, my son, he's 21. I've talked about him before. He has autism. He is a rock star. But being the parent of a kid with special needs is really, really hard. So shout out to all of our listeners who are parents of children with special needs. I hear you. I feel you. I'm praying for you. But there's so many blessings in this situation. Mm-hmm. Like God continually just showers down blessings. So here's the most recent one in regard to Jackson. Jackson is obsessed with the jungle. He's obsessed with animals. He works at the Columbus Zoo. He wants to... just be with animals. He loves animals. He says, Mom, do I have a St. Francis soul? He just really wants to. But now he wants to live in the jungle, like Mowgli or Tarzan style. So we've known for a while, we're going to Costa Rica. We're staying in a hotel right in the middle of the jungle where supposedly the monkeys run wild. My daughter's kind of grossed out by the whole thing, but Jackson is super excited. So he's been begging us for months, can we do jungle training? Can you train me to live in the jungle? Can you train me to be a jungle boy? And I'm like, So we go down to the woods sometimes and like hop over things and run around things and swing on things. I don't know. But so I signed him up for a gym membership and I gave all of my contact information and I get a text. Hi, Jackson. This is Alina. I'm a trainer at the gym. With your membership, you get a complimentary training session. Let's talk about your fitness goals. I was like, okay. I replied, told her a little about Jackson, said, and the bottom line is Jackson's fitness goals are to train to be a jungle boy. He wants to live in the jungle. And I pressed send, and I kind of waited, like, I don't know this woman. How's she going to respond? She sends back little heart eyeball emojis and says, that sounds fun. Let's meet. Da-da. So set up a session. We get to the gym. She's beautiful, which helps because Jackson appreciates beauty. And she says, all right, Jackson, go get in the sauna. And he said, the sauna? And she said, it's really hot in the jungle.
That's
right.
Hey.
So immediately she's on board. Every exercise she relates to the jungle. Yeah. So we signed him up for personal training sessions.
What was this gym? What's this
it's
gym
LA
again?
It's LA Fitness in at Graceland. And we've had several trainers, and they are all on board for jungle training.
It sounds to me he needs to learn how to start fires and wield a machete, too.
All right. Well, we're going to put you on his team.
Okay. Well, I'll teach him how to start fires and wield a machete.
Great. He does have a slingshot.
Good.
Well, yeah, we take that in the woods and make sure he's not shooting it at in the direction of people or dogs or windows.
In the spirit of the Christmas story, have you gotten him a BB gun yet?
No, I hate the Christmas story.
Me too.
It's very stressful. Yeah, we're not allowed to watch it at our house.
Yeah.
Did you see a couple years ago when they did a musical version of the Christmas?
No, I did not
see that. It
was
torturous.
Yeah, I would imagine.
It was torturous.
As most musicals are.
What? No, you're not right about that. All right. So today is December 27th.
Yeah.
It is my parents' wedding anniversary.
Whoa.
Like a million years or something.
Yeah.
I forget how long. 55, maybe? Something like that. So happy anniversary, Mom and Dad. All right. What else we have going on this morning?
Well, we have Kathy Kelly from the Christ Child Society today.
Yep, she's our guest in the second half.
Yes, and Father Sean Dooley is our priest of the week.
Our Lady of Peace.
Yeah.
Yes, and he's going to display a very special talent.
We're going to see that.
And it's the Feast of St. John. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So, and it's still Christmas.
It is still Christmas.
What day is it? Is this the third day of Christmas or the second day of Christmas? Do we know?
I think you count Christmas Day.
Okay.
So it would be the third day of Christmas.
Partridge in a pear tree, two turtle doves. Today's three French hens.
Yes.
I think the Trinity. Am I not right about that?
I can't quite remember that, all the details of that.
You know what? I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that you are not like up on the 12 days
now,
of Christmas.
The question is the 12 days of Christmas in the Gather hymnal?
No. What is your deal with the Gather hymnal? You got to ease up on the Gather hymnal. All right. Do we have Father Sean Dooley on the phone? All right. We are going. Father Sean Dooley, are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you two?
Wonderful.
We're so excited to have you on the show this morning.
Oh, I bet. I was really happy to hear I was called out last week.
Yeah.
On the radio.
Hey, that's what friends do. Call each other out. Keep each other accountable. You know, normally we play a game on this show with our Priest of the Week. But
that's right here.
Yeah, but we're going to scrap that because we want to do something different with you. Because you have a very rare and impressive talent, which is...
I wouldn't say it's rare, but anyway, go ahead.
You wouldn't say it's rare? You know anybody else who can do
this?
Well,
just tell what the talent is.
So the talent is, I can name a saint or a date, and Father Sean Dooley from Our Lady of Peace can tell you the feast day. So
I can try.
Listeners, if you can do that for the whole general Roman calendar, let us know, because Father Dooley says this is not a rare talent, but I believe it is. All right, so we're going to give you... Now, I have to warn you, Father Adam threw in a couple of trick questions, so we'll do those at the end. Okay, so I'm going to go through one. I'm going to pick one from each month. How about starting with January? Are you ready?
Okay.
Listeners, if you want to check him, you can get on Wikipedia on the general Roman calendar and check his answers. So, you know, we're legit here. Okay, January 24th.
Oh, that's St. Francis of Sales, our patron during the diocese.
Everybody yeah. knows that. Okay, February 5th.
Oh, 5th. Oh, darn. I think it's St. Agatha.
Yes, it is St. Agatha.
Whoa.
Very good. March 18th.
Oh, man. That is Cyril. I think it's the guy in Jerusalem.
Yes,
I think it's
is.
That guy over there.
It is.
It is? Okay.
April 25th.
That would be, our good friend Mark the Evangelist.
Mark the Evangelist, that's right. May 22nd.
22nd? Oh, what's her name? Rita? Saint Rita?
That is correct.
Something, I don't know.
Cassia? I think. Okay. Okay. Here are a couple of Father Adam's trick questions. Saint, where are they? Saint Fulton Sheen.
Oh, I have no idea. I have no clue.
Well, he's not been canonized yet.
Oh, okay.
We try not to talk about controversy on this show, but
I have
we thought we'd
no
bring
no idea.
Okay. I'm going to give you a saint and you tell me the date.
Okay.
Saint Boniface.
Oh. He's in June.
He is in June.
June 5th?
Wow.
June 5th.
Is
yes.
that right?
That's correct. The dedication of the basilicas of Saints Peter and Saint Paul outside the walls.
Peter, is it, Peter and Paul?
Mm-hmm.
November?
No. Yeah, yeah.
18th? Is that right?
How does he know that?
I hope he doesn't have a missile in front
nothing.
Of him.
I have nothing in front of me.
Okay, one more.
God. No.
The Feast of St. Francis Receiving the Stigmata.
Is that just October 4th?
No.
Like the normal. No,
but that is the Feast of St. Francis. Okay, September 17th, but we're going to give you that.
Sisters would they'd get at me about missing that one.
Yeah. Oh.
7 points, Father Sean Dooley. It's amazing. It's impressive.
Now, that's not a record, though, for these games.
It's not a record, but that is by far the most.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Father Adam.
Yeah. But, but well done. Well done. So, Father, you're at Our Lady of Peace. Is that right?
I am, right off High Street. Yep.
So how long have you been there now?
Since July, and I've just been studying the Roman calendar, just, you know, the whole time.
There's not enough work there.
Yeah.
Watch it. They'll give you a cluster. you were in my neck of the woods down south before you went to Our Lady of Peace, weren't you?
Yes. I was down at, of course, your home parish, St. Mary, Queen of the Missions, and Waverly, and St. Coleman's Courthouse. And then we all went to St. Peter's and Chillicothe, and then we had St. Sylvester's there in Gillespie.
And you were the associate there, weren't you? One of the associates.
I was. Yes, one of the associates.
Yeah, one of them. So how has the adjustment been as from an associate to a pastor? What's different?
Well, of course, everything's kind of, you know, you're the guy that makes the decisions, quote unquote, you know. The buck kind of stops with you, if you will. But I will say also, I mean, the driving is a lot less.
So. Yeah.
I mean, wait, just crossing the street to the church from the house is a lot better than, you know, driving between the four counties. I don't miss the driving, but
yeah.
The people there they're great people in all four of those places. And here at Our Lady of Peace, great people.
And you have a school there too at Our Lady of Peace.
Yeah, probably one of the smaller of the schools in Columbus, but really, really has a good neighborhood feel to it, and we have some really great teachers and a great principal, and so you really get to know the kids. We probably have about around 220 between K to eighth grade.
Did you have a school at any of your other parishes?
Yeah, we have a Bishop Leger down in Chillicothe, They were, it's in the old Flagey High School there. So I went down there quite a bit as well. So the school was just brings a lot of life to my ministry.
Yeah.
I find.
Now, are you a product of Catholic schools?
I am, yes. I went to preschool through senior year in high school. So I went to the former St. Nicholas School. Now it's Bishop Fenwick. And then I graduated from Bishop Rosecrans.
In Zanesville.
Good old Zanesville.
With the Y Bridge.
With the Y Bridge. We're on our fifth Y Bridge.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Uh-oh.
Why is it called the Y Bridge? Because people ask why. Is it called the Y Bridge?
Wow.
Why don't you handle that one, Father?
Well, I mean, Zanesville, the layout, it's very unique. And the river kind of, the Muskingum and the Licking kind of divide the city in three. So why don't you just, two birds with one stone, just build one bridge instead of two?
Ah, it's a Y-shaped bridge.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought
you go in the middle and you make a right or left in the middle of the bridge.
I thought it was the WHY bridge.
Now, one kind of final topic for us to explore is what are your thoughts on the possibility of life on other planets?
Well, I'll let the American public decide.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Now, what's your favorite type of alien?
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. So,
have you ever been?
I have a friend out in New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
He's a priest out there, and we made a little trip to the Roswell Alien Museum.
Oh, that yeah,
very different.
Have you ever seen an alien, Father Sean? Father Dooley?
No, but again, I'll let the American public decide on that. So
I don't even know what that means. What is the
court of public opinion?
He has no position on light on the possibility of life on other planets. So.
That's not true.
You never know. Could be.
What does that mean for us theologically?
Again, the court of public opinion.
Well, Father, I understand you have Mass at 8:30.
I do, yes, on this great feast of St. John.
St. John, yeah.
Is it a school mass or a parish mass or both?
No, just parish mass. I think school's back in session on the 6th.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's right.
For a little bit.
Is it normally, do you have a weekly Friday school mass?
Our school mass here is on Wednesdays.
Every Wednesday?
Yep, almost every Wednesday.
Wow, is that typical in Catholic schools? What do you guys
think? I think nowadays I would say, I mean, there may be a few exceptions, but I would say the vast majority of grade schools in our diocese have Mass at least once a week.
For a while, though, it was kind of a monthly Mass schedule, right? Or no?
If that, yeah.
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 Wow, good.
Yeah, I think I remember going once or twice a month when I was in grade school. It seems like it's been going weekly.
Did you make that decision, or was it that way when you got there, a weekly school mass?
It was like that when I got here.
Awesome. And do you find yourself just hanging out in the school and shirking your other parish responsibilities to just go hang out where the fun is?
Well, again, just, just staring at the Roman calendar and just...
Do you ever go in the school and impress the kids with your ability to name feast days? I feel like that's something that would be super impressive to kids.
No, it's quite very underwhelming, to be honest.
All right. Well, you go do your priestly thing, and we are super grateful that you are with us this morning.
Yep. And Merry Christmas, Father.
Thank you. And, as I always say, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Yeah.
That's Casey Kasem.
Thanks, Casey
Kasem. But I like that quote.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right, take care.
Bye. You're listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We're going to take a break, so don't go away.
Some atheists attack the faith by propping up a ridiculous idea that no one actually has about God, and then knocking that idea down. Many proponents of atheism claim that we Christians believe in a God that's like a mythological creature flying around in space. The lead atheist, Richard Dawkins, has famously said that we might as well believe in a flying spaghetti monster. And an atheist Russian cosmonaut is credited with looking around in space and saying, "Well, I'm here, and I don't see God anywhere." Friends, that would be like Frodo reaching the summit of Mount Doom and saying, "I'm here looking around and there's no evidence of J.R.R. Tolkien anywhere." Frodo, you're in the story. Christians don't believe in a mythological creature flying around in space. We believe in a God who's the source of all creation, a God who is existence itself. He's not some powerful being in creation. All creation is in him. As St. Paul penned, "In him we live, we move, and have our being." That's what we mean when we say God. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
My family left the church because of a very negative experience with a specific priest, and that took my whole family away from going to church for a long period of time. There were other Catholic churches, and there were great Catholic churches and great priests, but we stopped because of that one specific instance. And in a way, I was cheated out of a big part of my journey and my life because we weren't in the church. In life, it seems like we're always enslaved to something. And I think that's basically what our culture is all about right now, is we are enslaved to power or to greed or to wealth or to lust. But there's a true freedom to not be enslaved, but to attach ourselves to God and to be free. My involvement in the church, my relationship with God, is who I am. It's what gives me my identity. Thank God I'm home.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Welcome back to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We are here on a Christmas morning, December 27th, and I have to apologize to our listeners because I skipped over the most important thing we offer.
Well,
here.
We had to talk to Father Dooley quickly, and at first
before he had
before
go to
his mass. So.
Well, so those of you who are just sitting in traffic, not going anywhere because you didn't get a traffic report from us.
Well,
here we go.
Today, as always, our traffic and weather is brought to you this week by the 14 Holy Helpers. Today, we remember St. Blaise, whose feast is February the 3rd. I'm especially invoking him today because Katie gave me her cold.
I didn't have a cold.
Which I had over Christmas.
No, you didn't get it from me.
Whatever. Of course, St. Blaise is the patron against the illnesses of the throat and also for the protection of domestic animals.
I didn't know that.
He's buried, and his shrine is in Dubrovnik, Croatia, and I've been there before.
Have you really?
Yes, to his shrine, yeah.
Do you have any domestic animals?
Nope, not that I know of. No.
I have two, and I'm going to spend the rest of the show talking about them.
We'll save that for a later show. Currently, it's 54 degrees. We're going to have a high of 59 degrees today and cloudy throughout most of the day. There's some issues on 670 East around the 315 South and the 3rd Avenue exit. So,
and that's been going on for a while this morning, you said,
right? It has been. When I went to the gym this morning at about 10 till 5... there were police over there. So remember to drive safely, and if you have a St. Gabriel Magnet on your car, represent us well.
Okay, and as we said, it's December 27th. My mom called during the break.
Oh yeah,
it's her 57th wedding.
57.
Yes, so happy anniversary.
Get that straight.
And hey, Mom and Dad, here is what happened on this day in Catholic history on your anniversary.
In 537. The construction of the Hagia Sophia in Constantinople was completed. In 1655, the monks at the Jasna Góra Monastery in Częstochowa, Poland, were successful in fending off a month-long siege by the Swedes.
The Swedes!
Through
they
the
don't
intercession
ever attack
of
anybody.
Our Lady. They did back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah, they used to be pretty aggressive.
What came over them?
Who knows? Modernism, probably. 1983, Pope John Paul II visited Mehmet Ali Aga, who was, of course, his assassin in prison and forgave
him. Well, his would-be assassin.
Would-be assassin.
All right.
Yeah. And forgave him this day in 1983. Of course,
amazing.
The attack was in 1981.
That's such a beautiful image, that picture of him, of them in the prison cell together.
Well, when I heard that, I was thinking about the feast yesterday of St. Stephen, you know, that St. Stephen is being martyred, but he forgives, you know, those who are martyring him. So, you know. And then another kind of random date today, in 1656, the Jesuit priest Andrew White died. Andrew White was one of the first priests in Maryland, which, of course, was a Catholic colony. So,
I didn't know Maryland was a Catholic colony.
Yeah.
Well, how about
that?
The
English Catholics settled it. Lord Baltimore, who was Catholic,
I should know that.
As a refuge for them. It didn't last very long. Then the Anglicans took it over from them, kind of disenfranchised the Catholics. So it didn't last long. Good things never do.
But. Oh, that's not true. We've still got jungle training going on. And it's amazing. Okay, let's see.
What about our the catechism minute?
Yes.
How's
what do
that?
What do we have?
Well, you know, the general theme today is celebrating childhood, as we are in this great season of Christmas, which is often associated not just with Christ's childhood, but childhood in general. You know, Christmas is about the children, they say. So I thought a nice, appropriate paragraph is number 525. So in the catechism, as it treats the mysteries of Christ's life, the events of Christ's life, it splits them up into four kind of sections. The first is the incarnation, so like the Annunciation and the Nativity. The second are the hidden years, so there are a couple appearances in the hidden years, you know, like the finding in the temple and those kind of things. Then his public ministry, his preaching and teaching and everything, and then the Paschal mysteries, so the death and resurrection. But about his childhood, we hear in paragraph 525, Jesus was born in a humble stable into a poor family, and then in 526, to become a child in relation to God is the condition for entering the kingdom. For this we must humble ourselves and become little. Even more, to become children of God, we must be born from above or born of God. Only when Christ is formed in us will the mystery of Christmas be fulfilled in us. Christmas is the mystery of this marvelous exchange.
Perfect, because our guest coming up then after our next break is Kathy Kelly with the Christ Child Society.
Yes.
So that ties in beautifully with our theme. Did you do that on purpose, Father
Adam? Of course, you
nice.
Know.
Very good. You're good. All right, saint of the day.
Saint John, the evangelist and the apostle, also known as the beloved disciple today.
Can you tell us about the beloved disciple thing? Because when I was in youth ministry, it always seemed, when we read John, that they always thought that John was in competition with the other disciples to be the most loved the disciples. Like, John ran faster, and John was the disciple that Jesus loved. And
well, you know, I mean, one of the things I like to often tell people is that each of us is Christ's favorite. So, you know, in some ways, he loves us more than everyone else.
And
each
of
us.
So. I did read a reflection in the Magnificat this morning.
And that's what
similar
I think,
to that.
That's what I think John really reveals to us is the particular love that Christ has for each of us. It's not like, oh, you know, I love everyone, you know, but I love each person in particular.
In particular.
And I think connected to that, too, is Christ has died for each person in particular, and Christ has become incarnate for each person in particular.
And that's why John was at the foot of the cross with Mary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like representing us.
Yes. And then that also is that he, you know, each of us receive Mary as our mother. And I think that's John is this great model for us to really receive Mary as our mother.
There's so much to learn from John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was struck the fourth weekend of the fourth Sunday of Advent about you know, Joseph takes Mary into his home and John takes Mary mm-hmm. into his home. And there is this sense that each of us has to bring Mary into our homes, into our lives, this personal relationship with Mary. And I think maybe that, you know, just to go on and on and on about this point, but I do think that is the great gift. John teaches us that, yes, we are a member of the community, the church, you know, and as the church, we have this communal relationship as the people of God with Christ. But we also each have this particular relationship with Christ. And there is this balance between the personal and the communal in our relationship with Christ.
And the key word there is balance.
Yeah.
Right? Because some of us get the communal part but forget the personal part. Some of us get the personal part and then forget the communal part.
It's got to be a balance. Yeah.
Okay. So because John is our saint today, our gospel of the day suddenly rips us out of the incarnation and takes us to the resurrection.
Yes. And I think we could probably even read it. It's not a very long passage.
Okay.
This on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. I think, you know, it's fitting that John is in this time, because we remember that the incarnation ultimately leads to the resurrection, you know, and this particular reading, and that really all the mysteries of Christ are interconnected.
Mm-hmm. And leading to this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And summed up in the cross, too.
Absolutely.
Like yesterday with Stephen was really a reflection on the cross or the Holy Innocents that we're going to celebrate here soon.
You know, the Pope did a cool reflection on Stephen yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just about how this is what Christmas is. I said last week, I love the placement of the Feast of St. Stephen. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, you celebrated Christmas. Was it fun? Did you like it? Did you get good presents? Okay, now live it, you know? And that's, like, Stephen is Christmas.
I think that John is... It also reveals to us this dynamic of the fullness of what Christmas, both in this sort of particular love that Christ has come, also this taking in of Mary, but also as a witness to the resurrection, too, you know.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Kathy Kelly of the Christ Child Society, also very appropriately placed at this time of year. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Catholic Community News from St. Gabriel Radio, AM 820.
The Martin de Porres Center is hosting a Lunch and Learn Examining the Refugee Crisis with Art. It will take place on Wednesday, January 8th from 11:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the Martin de Porres Center, 2330 Airport Drive in Columbus. For more information, visit martindeporrescenter.net. Dublin St. Bridget of Kildare School, 7179 Avery Road, will have an open house from 3 until 5 p.m. Sunday, January 12th. The event will include tours of the two-time National Blue Ribbon School with representatives from all its academic activities and related programs available to answer questions. For more information, visit the website stbridgetofkildare.com. The Catholic Charismatic Renewal will host a New Year's Eve Thanksgiving Mass at St. Teresa's Retreat Center, 5277 East Broad Street in Columbus. It will take place at 5:30 with rosary, followed by praise and worship and prayer ministry. The Mass will be at 7 p.m., followed by fellowship, and will conclude by 9 p.m. For more information, visit ccrcolumbus.org.
This is a Young Catholic Minute.
My brother doesn't want to get confirmed. Is it okay for my parents to make him anyway?
Would your parents make your brother get married or be ordained a priest if he didn't want to? I doubt it. But confirmation is just as big a deal. It's not just graduating from religious education classes. It's making a commitment to follow Christ and remain faithful to Him and His church. How do you think God would feel if someone walked up to the bishop to be confirmed, but had no intention of keeping the commitment to God that confirmation implies? Probably about as good as someone who just found out their spouse was lying when he or she was saying their wedding vows. And if someone doesn't want to be confirmed, then it's not a good idea to force them into a situation where they would be lying to God. But that doesn't mean we're powerless. Prayer will move mountains. Just have faith and trust in God. He won't let you down. For more Young Catholic Minutes, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. Spending time in nature can help us grow in our love for God. Pope St. John Paul II said, "The aesthetic value of creation cannot be overlooked. Our very contact with nature has a deep restorative power. Contemplation of its magnificence imparts peace and serenity." It is both holy and healthy to spend time in nature. It can stir our hearts to deeper love for God and for others. It can give us insight about ourselves, and it can help us to hear God's voice in our hearts. St. Teresa of Avila said, "It helped me to look at fields or water or flowers. In these things, I found a remembrance of the Creator. I mean that they awakened and recollected me and served as a book." Let us pray. Father God, open our hearts and teach us about you through the magnificence of your creation. Amen.
Welcome back to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We are here this morning on a Friday Christmas morning, December 27th. We've got another traffic and weather update for you.
Well, good morning again. Our traffic and weather is brought to us this week by the 14 Holy Helpers. Currently, we stand at 54 degrees. We're going to probably have a high of 59 today, cloudy throughout most of the day. There's still some traffic issues on 670 East around the 315 South exit and then also the 3rd Street exit. Also, there's some issues on 23 North as well. So,
okay. I'm glad I'm here and not out there.
Well, remember to drive safely, and if you have a St. Gabriel magnet on your car, represent us well.
Okay, so we chose our guest today kind of based on the Christmas season and the theme for the gospel for this coming Sunday. Can you tell us what the gospel is, Father?
Well, of course, this Sunday we celebrate, as we do every Sunday after Christmas, the Feast of the Holy Family. So the gospel this week tells us of the flight into Egypt. So we hear a little bit, "When the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you.'" So I think this story especially reveals to us Joseph's care and protection of the Christ child and of his mother. And, you know, as we, I think, said a little earlier, Christmas is so closely associated with childhood, especially with the birth of Christ. But also, you know, I think in most families, celebration of Christmas, children kind of have the center stage. You know, it's even at the masses, oftentimes the kids will bring up gifts, or even in some parishes, I think they'll do some of the serving in the masses, and, you know, maybe even the readings at the mass or something
and
like
music
that. And music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's closely associated. And I think we want to remember that childhood, both literal childhood, but also spiritual childhood, something very important in our Catholic faith. You know, the Lord calls us to be like little children in this sort of innocence and openness to the gifts, which our Heavenly Father is continually giving us. And so I think part of it is the celebration. We want to celebrate childhood. But also another kind of theme that's interconnected to this is the celebration of Christmas, and I think with it the celebration of childhood throughout the whole year.
So. All right. So that being said, we've invited Kathy Kelly of the Christ Child Society to come and talk to us. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Morning.
Both of you.
Morning. Morning. Welcome.
We're looking forward to hearing about what you do and what the Christ Child Society is.
What is the Christ Child Society?
The Christ Child Society is a national organization started in the late 1880s in Washington, D.C. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. A woman, Mary Virginia Merrick, who is now beloved Mary Virginia Merrick, she was a part of a wealthy family in that area and had a very profound religious experience in her teens. And at that time, felt she really wanted to dedicate herself to God. It's a wonderful story. Ironically, she developed an illness and became paralyzed at age 19, partially paralyzed. Then she's with this family. She's doing a lot of care for her family and is noticing a very poor family that she interacts with, that the mother was pregnant, extreme poverty. And so she convinced her many siblings and a couple of friends that what they needed to do, Christmas was approaching, they needed to gather and buy a layette for this woman. And they said that they really wanted to do that in honor of the Christ Child. It was at Christmas, and that was their gift. And it was really that spark that then she was a very magnanimous woman, drew people to her naturally, and it was really that started the creation of layettes for poor families. That is the nugget. That's the signature project of Christ Child Society chapters, which are now throughout the country. There are over 40 of them, five, I believe, in Ohio. Our local chapter started in 1981, and I love the story. It was literally two friends, one who I believe had been a member at another state, sitting across the kitchen table, said, "This is a project we think we want to do here in Central Ohio," and started with that, with this signature project of layettes. We now have over 180 or so active and sustaining members, and I can go on for quite some time.
Yeah. So, well, before you do, tell us what a layette is.
Oh,
exactly.
That's a good question, because that is an older term, and we've learned to describe that. We also call them newborn baby bundles. We, through fundraising, are able to buy materials for newborn babies. We have lovely little soft blankets, and in that blanket we package diapers, wipes, hand crocheted hats, booties, onesies, swaddling sleepers, a whole packet of things. We tie them up, and then we distribute those with the help of social service agencies in Columbus. We, in the Central Ohio area, we rely on their expertise, and we distribute those. Last year, we did nearly 1,900 of these to the county health department, pregnancy centers. We're even in other counties around Franklin County now. A lot of agencies, clinics, the homeless shelter, and those are given out to women in need.
What is it done throughout the whole year or just around Christmas?
All year long. Our layettes are packed every month by volunteers who lovingly gather. And we also put a book in each layette. Oh. Literacy is a thread that really runs through all of our projects because we think it's so important to helping reduce those cycles of poverty.
Do you spend time with people who receive these layettes? Do you have opportunities to interact with the mothers or?
Generally, no, we don't. Because we have relied on these social service agencies to make those decisions, sometimes we get that interaction, and we do. Our members are thrilled when we receive thank you notes and loving letters, and we do get those. As an example, we now have received several letters from grandparents who were all of a sudden tasked with maybe caring for a newborn from a relative that they hadn't planned for. And this, bundle of fresh new baby clothes, all of our items are new. Is a gift to them. And so when we receive those, we love it. But our members really, I think, they know this is the right thing to do. It's from their hearts. It would be lovely to see that, but I think the gratification really comes from knowing what we're doing.
Do you contact the agencies, or do the agencies contact Christ Child Society, or is it a combination of both?
It's a combination. Yeah. There's such a wonderful system set up now that our coordinator of this project, we have committees, contacts the agencies on a monthly basis, and they'll tell us, we think we're going to need 30 layettes this month. They've got it down, and we welcome. We've had some new, you know, providers that have contacted us because word of mouth, they've heard it and wanted to know. And that's not our only project.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, whoa, tell us some more.
The ones we love to talk about the most are really that. And we operate a facility we call the Crib Club. It's housed within the Women's Care Center on Broad Street. And that Crib Club is a store, really, with, again, all new items for babies and little children. We work with the Women's Care Center. The women who come there and take parenting classes or childbirth readiness, visit the facility, they accumulate points. And then those points are turned into coupons, which they can spend in our store. And it's lovely. That our volunteers love working there because you do get that direct interaction with parents, with the moms who come in and have made that decision, you know, to keep that baby and to learn about parenting and childbirth. And they're so excited to be able to get new items. And we are proud to say that we also provide in that store full-size cribs that actually turn into youth beds. And last year, I believe we distributed almost 300 of those throughout the Columbus area.
It sounds very beautiful. And I'm just struck by Joseph's role in taking care of the mother and the child, you know? And there is, I think, some criticism sometimes of the pro-life movement that, you know, we focus on pregnancy but aren't always doing outreach to the mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I think, a great example of, you know, our pro-life church and reaching out to the mothers and to the babies who are born and providing these essential needs.
Yeah. It's really a wonderful program, and one that when we talk to organizations always, you know, sparks such interest and, you know, and joy with that. Additionally, then, our others that I believe use the most of our volunteer time. We, at the St. Stephen's Community House in the Linden area, the local Christ Child chapter helped establish the preschool in that facility and built the playground. We are still involved. It actually has the name, the Christ Child Early Learning Center. And our members love interacting with the preschoolers there. It is, they provide like the enrichment programs. Mm. We go in and do the art program and help with music and do reading and do the school parties. We help support the teachers, and we also provide funding for scholarships for parents who want to send their children to that preschool. The preschool there is, on the state rating, is a 5-star preschool.
Whoa.
Which sets it at a different level than that you get through the public school system.
Mm-hmm.
And so we like to think we can help parents who really want to make that choice and invest in good preschool education.
What does membership in the society entail?
It entails a pledge to commit volunteer hours and help with fundraising and just, you know, a joy. It is such a wonderful community of women. I think the women who join have that love of children and see our projects and know they want to help. But it's also just a wonderful support system for each other, which we all need. And I think as women, sometimes perhaps more. But that I love to see that lifelong friendships develop.
So there's a community sort of social dimension to it as well.
Yes, there is that community.
So if somebody wanted to just participate financially, like maybe a man who
sure. And there are male members in a couple of chapters.
Oh, there are male members?
We're not restricted.
So how would someone make a financial contribution?
We have a website,
okay.
ChristChildSociety.org, that's, I must say, lovely. We had a great volunteer who helped us redo that this year. And so anyone can make a contribution there. We also have a couple of fundraisers during the year. Our largest one comes every autumn, a large luncheon, and we do lots of fun things there that is called the Red Wagon Luncheon. And I can tell you that story as well. I don't know how we are on time. Yeah.
Well, we're actually going to go to a break here in a little bit. But so we can Google Red Wagon. We can Google Christ Child.
It's all on there.
Yeah. So
yes, it's all there.
And people can get involved. Thank you, Kathy, for what you do. And thank you for being here this morning. And
thank you. We're proud of what we do. And we hope that we can just continue to support moms and parenting.
And if you're looking for a small group, a prayer opportunity and a volunteer opportunity, then looks like Christ Child Society might be a great option for
you. Absolutely, and we welcome new members at any time.
Great. Okay, you are listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We have just been talking to Kathy Kelly from the Christ Child Society. We're going to take a break, so don't go away.
Sarah clubs throughout the world pray for and support the priesthood and consecrated religious life. Please join in our prayer for vocations.
O God, who wills not the death of a sinner, but rather that he be converted and live, grant, we beseech you, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, St. Joseph, her spouse, St. Junipero Serra, and all the saints, an increase of laborers for your church, fellow laborers with Christ to spend and consume themselves for souls. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
For information on the Sarah Clubs in the Diocese of Columbus, go to sarahcolumbus.org. That's S-E-R-R-A, Columbus.org.
Did you know that your body has a theology? Icons. We see them on our phones every day. My favorite icon is the smiley face emoji. It's a sign that clearly expresses my happiness and joy. In his Theology of the Body, Pope John Paul II reflects on the icon of marriage between a husband and a wife. What does marriage point to? Is it health, wealth, fertility? It's much more than that. Think about it. Scripture begins with the marriage of Adam and Eve in Genesis and ends with the marriage of Christ and the church in Revelations. Marriage is an earthly icon that points to the reality of heaven, total union and communion with the bridegroom. I'm Clarissa Chichioko for Creative Catholic Works. For more TOB Minutes, you can find us at creativecatholicworks.org.
Welcome back to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We were just talking to Kathy Kelly from the Christ Child Society. I'm really amazed by that. Yeah, I didn't really know much about the Christ Child Society.
Yeah, I've heard about them, but I didn't realize all the great work that they were doing. So.
And I love what you said about, the, you know, not just pro-birth, but pro-life. And then she went on to talk about the whole preschool.
Yeah, which was amazing. I didn't realize that. And, you know, I think so many people are wondering, what am I supposed to do as, you know, as a disciple of the Lord? And, you know, I think it's always a good idea to kind of focus on one thing, but that one thing should kind of fill your whole basket. So it should provide volunteer charity, you know, an opportunity to exercise charity or to exercise evangelization or, you know, one of the works of mercy, you know. But second, it should also be an opportunity for spiritual formation, you know, so maybe prayer together. And then third, it should also provide some sort of communal support, you know. And I think those three things are so crucial, you know, service and witness, prayer, and community. That's what we're really looking for as disciples. So.
And it's all wrapped up there.
And it sounds like Christ Child Society has it. So.
Okay, next week, Holy Day of Obligation.
Yes. And, you know, this is unfortunately the neglected Holy Day of Obligation. It is the least attended and the most forgotten of the holy days of obligation. So I think maybe our discipleship challenge is to remind people about January the 1st,
yes.
You know,
yes.
the Mother of God.
I know that our Mass is at 9 a.m., which I think is a little early for New Year's Day.
Yeah, you know, I know as, you know, as a pastor, when I was a pastor and now as an administrator, too, it's very difficult to figure out the Mass schedule
yeah.
for New Year's, because other holy days of obligation, you kind of generally know, but really it's, I haven't seen anything work. I mean, you know, what do you do at early evening, you know, as a vigil?
Yeah.
Do you do it late on the
yeah,
evening of the day? Do you do it in the morning? No one's away. You know, it is, you know, unfortunately we don't go as often as we should on the first.
I know at Resurrection we're doing a holy hour from 11 p.m. to midnight,
mm-hmm.
and then Mass at 9 a.m. on New Year's
yeah.
morning. So
yeah,
I'm excited. I'm up for
you
all
know,
that.
And I think that is a great day to go to Mass to start your year off,
yeah,
right, and to end.
Exactly.
You know, and then have sauerkraut and pork afterwards.
No, thank you. Gross. Okay, hey. Nominations for Catholic Man of the Year are due New Year's Eve, December 31st. Who are you nominating?
Dave Orsborn.
Oh, so am I. You can just Google Columbus Catholic Man of the Year and submit your nominations, but don't delay. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate.
Now, it's, you know, that is, you know, Dave Orsborn does a lot of wonderful things. As we make his face red.
He's
but
here.
I've often wondered, is it appropriate to nominate for Catholic Man of the Year someone who works for the church or works for a lay apostolate? What's your opinion
say,
on that?
I thought you were going to say, is it appropriate to nominate myself?
No.
I was going to say no. Yeah, I think it's appropriate.
Is it? Okay.
I do. Yeah.
I didn't know what the rules were.
Well, I don't know what the rules, you know, it doesn't say anything about that in the.
I once had, one year I had to judge the Catholic Women of the Year.
Judge? That
yeah,
sounds
well.
Harsh. Are you sure that's what you were asked
Evaluate.
To do, or is that what you decided?
Evaluator.
Hey, I have, well, okay, first of all, a little bit of business. We have no show next week because it's First Friday,
yes.
Sacred Heart show. And then the following week, you and Jenna Zins are
yes,
co-hosting.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fun show.
Yes.
I will be in the jungle.
Yes.
Like wrangling snakes and running from lions.
Wielding machetes. Starting
fires. Well, you better get busy. You got about 5 days to train us how
yeah.
to do that. Okay.
And Father Tom Blau of the Dominicans will be joining us also.
As priest of the week and as featured guest. Yeah.
Yes.
So I know.
A whole hour of Father Blau.
I'm going to have to be listening from Costa Rica. I'm very excited. I'm a little jealous, I have to admit.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to hear a good news story before we
sure.
go? Okay. So, you know, you can buy medical debt. You can buy people's debt.
Is that right?
Yeah, for like pennies on the dollar. And then the creditors are done and then you get to pursue the people and chase them down for their
mm-hmm.
money. And it's big business. It's big money. So there was a church in California, the Christian Assembly Church. It's not a Catholic church, but an awesome church who spent a year raising $50,000 from their parishioners, bought $5.2 million in medical debt, and then wrote it off for the people who owed it. It sent them a letter just saying your debt has been paid, your medical debt has been paid, you don't owe this anymore. And
it reminds you of, there were these orders, religious orders back in the Middle Ages, that would ransom slaves. You know, like
yes.
they would sell themselves into slavery and free slaves. So.
Amazing. There are good people. We started the show with it. We'll end the show with
yes.
it. People are good.
Amen.
All right. Speaking of amen.
Shall we end with a prayer? In
yes.
the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. And for my co-host, Katie, this is Father Adam saying, until the next time, peace and all good, and Happy New Year's.
This is listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820 on WVSG Columbus and FM 88.3 WSGR New Boston, Portsmouth.